Welcome back to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. I'm your host, Jenny Jones, and I've spent years researching, testing, and optimizing my body and brain, partnering with leading experts to bring you the latest science-backed tools to help you feel and function your best. Today's episode is one you don't want to miss if you care about longevity, oral health, or reversing gum recession without painful surgery. I'm joined by Dr. John Chow, a pioneer in dentistry and inventor of the pinhole gum rejuvenation technique, a minimally invasive alternative to traditional gum grafting that's helping patients heal faster with less pain and downtime. We talk about the real causes of receding gums, from hidden bacteria to mouth breathing to clenching, and how leaky mouth might be silently contributing to inflammation, brain fog, and even cardiovascular risk. Dr. Chow breaks down the science, the warning signs, and how this innovative procedure is changing lives. And if you enjoy the podcast and want to support the show, please rate, review, and share it with someone who might benefit. I also have a curated list of the wellness tools and biohacking products I truly trust, everything I personally use to optimize my sleep, energy, detox, skin, hormones, brain health, and more. You can find those linked in the show notes or under the shop tab on biohackerblondie.com. Your support helps keep these incredible conversations going. So now let's dive into this amazing episode with Dr. John Chow. Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I'm so excited for this episode because we are here with Dr. John Chow, and you are a dentist that is oral health, and you also invented this pinhole gum rejuvenation method. So we have a lot to get into: receding gums, oral health, all of it. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And if you can kind of give a brief introduction and how you got to this invention for receding gums. So welcome.
Listen, first of all, thank you for having me, Jenny. It's a great honor and pleasure to talk about something I'm so passionate about. Gum recession is a universal problem. Most populations around the world have gum recession, especially those 30 and over, according to studies, have gum recession. And we have a limited number of specialists who have been trained to use the standard method to treat gum recession. It is a little bit time consuming, and it takes a special level of skill and training. And I see this need to address this gum recession situation because it's similar to a leaky gut. We have a leaky mouth that leaks toxins and bacteria into the system. So we're getting into it more. And so I wanted a method that can allow general practitioners like me and because we're a lot more of us than the specialists, and have specialists and general practitioners do we come up with a simple method that can treat a lot of people in a very short time compared to the other methods. So I finally came up with a method that's easier, and because it does not require cutting, does not require suturing, so it takes away that surgical skill that the standard method requires. And so I introduced it about 10 years ago, and I was able to reach 4,000 dentists, 1,000 of which are periodontists, and train them to do the pinhole. And my vision and mission is to publicize this to the general population, let them know this is available, and train a lot more than 4,000 in the next 4 years. I'd like to really train 40,000 and maybe more, so that it becomes a common procedure that's done daily and easily for the patients who need it.
Yeah, I think I want to get so much into this procedure versus the old way of doing this. But I also want to get into what causes receding gums. And is this genetics? Is this age? Is this bacteria? If we can kind of just get into the complications of why this is even happening to people.
Yeah, what you said is all of the above. It's a multifactorial. There are many causes. But the main one, the main two, I think, is just that it's just the pathogens, the toxins that leaks through our mouth, basically getting through our gums. Our gums is kind of the protective covering of the system, like the intake valve of a submarine. And the intake valve has to be working well, not leaking, not allowing toxins and undesirable elements to get in. And if it does get in, then you can see how the system can be spoiled. A little bit like the leaky gut. So we have a picture here comparing the oral system with the submarine system. And you can see we're surrounded by toxins, pressurized toxins of the air. Submarine is similarly under attack by its environment, and it has a system to take in the outside fluids to cool the engine and expel the fluids that it takes in. And similarly, our oral system has the same thing. If we have leaking here, and so it's going to poison the whole system.
Quick pause. If you're ready to take your health to the next level and want personalized support that's tailored specifically to your body, your goals, and your lifestyle, you can book a one-on-one biohacking coaching session with me. I've spent years researching, testing, and refining the most effective tools in the health and wellness space. So whether you're dealing with low energy, poor sleep, detox issues, or just want to optimize your performance and longevity, I'll help you create a clear and science-backed plan. You'll also find exclusive discounts on my website for all the trusted biohacks and wellness tools I personally use and recommend, because I only share what actually works. Just head over to biohackerbondi.com to get started. So now let's get back to the episode.
And right now we really are known to take care of the leaking gut system here in the gut of our system, just like the submarine has a problem with the gut in the hull. So our job is to seal this area here and keep it from leaking as we work on the leaky gut system. So it is the toxins and the bacteria that leaks through the gums. So therefore, we need to treat the gums, or free it of disease, and keep it sealed. We can remove the disease, which is gum disease. We can treat that effectively, but we need to seal it. And here's the problem: we don't have a seal if the gums are receding. The gums are not quality, and that can seal. So that's number one. Number two is not well known, but it is true that if you clench your teeth, you can produce a lot of pressure, and that pressure over time can cause a bone loss. Can cause, if you have bone loss, then you lost the gum, then you have gum recession. Just to give you an example, our tires have about 30, 40 pounds per square inch pressure. When we clench our teeth, tooth to tooth, cusp to the opposing tooth, we generate, on the average, by studies and experiments, 200 pounds per square inch. So that's a lot of pressure. And that we do it unconsciously. A lot of people clench their teeth during the day without thinking, or they just rub their teeth together. That's microtrauma. And when they sleep, they sometimes would grind their teeth because they snore. So all these, so the clenching and the grinding will be the third most common factor. And there are other factors, because genetically, if you're not, if you have the genetics and you have the germs, you have the situation that they can brew a gum disease. So the genetic factors also, genetically, is the positioning of the teeth. If the teeth are pushed too far out, you can have gum recession because there's not like a bone there. So there are different factors, but the main one will be control the leak by addressing the pathogens, the germs that cause it,
Is that certain bacteria that's making the gums recede? Like it's kind of eating away at the gums?
Yes, it eats away at the gum and causes bone loss. Bone is what holds the gums in place. If you lose the bone, sometimes the gums will follow.
Okay.
So it is a germ-based disease that makes the patient vulnerable. Now, where do the patient get the germs? It's not their fault. Patients often blame themselves too much because hygiene has a lot to do with it. They got these germs as an infant. The infant's mouth is sterile. Germs comes in from the caretakers, mother and father most commonly, and it stays for life. And if they also have the genetic predisposition to gum disease, as they get older, the gums begin to be vulnerable to inflammation and disease, and then lose bone, and then you have the shrinkage.
Well, what about food? I mean, I know for oral health, if you're eating processed food and sugar, that is doing a lot of harm. Like if you look at an animal that has passed away in the wild and their teeth are still there, they look amazing. If you have a dog that you've been feeding, you know, commercialized food, they have a lot of dental issues. So I feel like food has a big aspect. Does that also have on the receding gums? And then also I wanted to ask you about acidic drinks as well.
Yes. What we put through our mouth definitely has a effect on the gums and on the teeth. There are some foods which encourage the proliferation of germs that cause decay. Mm-hmm. Like the bacillus is one of them, which is commonly known. Mm-hmm. And the food that actually the sugary foods actually causes proliferation of both the germs that cause decay and the germs that can produce gum disease. So what you take does definitely have an effect on your teeth and enamel. Now the acidic foods, the foods which come in contact with your teeth, such as lemon, they can erode enamel and they can erode roots which are exposed, and then you have the notching and the decaying of the teeth on the outside. But the food definitely has a lot to do with it, and so we need to be very cautious of how we take in terms of food, and of course how we clean it, how we have good hygiene, how we can control the growth of germs, that can come from food debris getting lodged in teeth.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is with processed food, it's just so easy to get stuck and it's sticky on the teeth. And then people, if you're not flossing, if you're not, you know, you have just more of a sugar diet, then you start producing bacteria that's not good in the mouth and you get this buildup and it can cause a lot of issues for your overall health. I've seen that plaque of gingivitis. You know, they say they're finding that same plaque in the arteries, they're finding that same plaque in the brain. So it's really scary when you think about oral health, how important it is. And a lot of people don't think about that and are eating all the sugar. Like, you know, it's been the processed food is getting just out of control and it's hurting people's health in all directions. So do you see like someone who's, you know, you can kind of tell their diet by when you have them as a patient? Do you see like I like to drink a lot of coffee. Would that be an issue?
The speech, your situation, drinking coffee is not an issue as far as teeth and gums are concerned. Coffee does not by itself, without the additives, without the sugar, without the lemon or whatever people put in it, it's really okay. It's the sugar in the coffee that has an impact on teeth. So now coffee will stain your teeth, but that's not something that's detrimental to your teeth and to your gums. So you just need to do more in terms of cleaning it. Maybe see the dentist more often. Maybe I have a lot of patients come in every 3 months, every 4 months, because they do tend to get stained. And there are ways also to alleviate staining of the coffee. I'll put a little put a little cream in it. But you get black, it stains more. You will put a little cream in it, it stains a lot less. And tea drinkers, I have a lot of patients who drink tea, they love tea. So I do have that. Now, I do want to add that just drinking plain, warm, hot water is very, very good for the system.
So if you are struggling to stay focused, get more done, and have steady energy all day, I might have the answer. Most supplements don't actually support long-term performance. They're packed with fillers, synthetics, and isolated ingredients that just don't work together. However, a new supplement I have been taking for months now has made all the difference, and that is Cellimentals Complete. The founder has been in the supplement industry for nearly 40 years, creating formulas designed to fuel your body with real bioactive nutrients that work synergistically for lasting impact. No shortcuts, no crashes, just true cellular support. It's packed with whole food ingredients like sea cucumber, rich in vitamins, minerals, and bioactive compounds for immune and joint support. Lingonberry and black currant provide antioxidants for brain health, while sea buckthorn offers omega fatty acids for skin, gut, and vitality. Plus, bovine heart and liver deliver B vitamins, CoQ10, and essential minerals to boost endurance and energy. Instead of just giving you a quick boost, Cellimentals helps reduce the demand on your cells so you can stay productive, feel good, and keep going without burning out. If you want to try out this amazing whole food supplement that truly gives your body the nutrients it craves, just go to cellimentals.com, that's cellimentals.com, and use my special discount code BHB for an extra 10% off so you can experience the difference in your overall health, focus, and energy. Again, that's cellimentals.com, code BHB at checkout.
And that's a tradition in Chinese culture. People drink a lot of warm water, and it's just so much better for the body than even cold water. It just goes better. And so a lot of things that we can do. I'm a person that favors, it's so hard for us to floss. And I don't blame patients if they resist flossing, because how do you get a floss way back there between the molars? Everybody sympathizes with patients who can't do it. Even us dentists and dental assistants and hygienists, we have to go over there and floss people's molars. It's not easy. So I advocate people use little proxy brushes, little brushes, and go between the teeth, and use a water pick, flush it all there.
Do you have a favorite water pick? I know a lot of people probably want to know, like, what are your go-tos?
Brand? If you have to pick one, I think the one that has the most well-known, there's most studies around it, will be the water pick. Yeah, you have to be sure you had the right setting, so talk to your dentist.
Is that the brand?
That's right. Water, P-I-K.
Okay.
Yeah, so
a lot of people really love that. And I know, like, some floss doesn't, like, the glide doesn't get as much. So the water pick really helps get everything in between the teeth, and it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
So what causes, like, do you see younger people having receding gums lately? Is that something, like, what are the ages you are doing this procedure on?
Well, you know, as I think about it, I think that maybe a third of the patients who are coming to see me for receding gums are actually, you know, probably below 30.
Wow. More and more as 30.
Yeah, below 30. The studies have shown it's mainly the group that's above 30, but I'm seeing more and more younger folks. I think people are more cautious in the last maybe 10 years. Of brushing and flossing, they're more cautious of the need to have good dental hygiene. So often they overdo it.
So you brush it. I've heard this from a few people where they're brushing too hard.
Yes,
that can cause gum recession.
That can, under certain circumstances, make it more likely, and also. The younger folks now are undergoing orthodontics. used to be we have to use brackets, so we have to use wires and so on to move teeth. Now we have Invisalign, we have tray system that can move teeth without those braces, those steel stuff showing. So a lot of people now in the last 10, 15, 20 years are undergoing orthodontic treatment. Now we used to be the dentist would pull teeth and then put it together and then it won't be crooked anymore. Well, we found that that's not very good because it constricts our oral cavity and produces all kinds of problems, swallowing problems, breathing problems, snoring, and it just collapses the face. So we want to keep the teeth, but we can't grow any more bone. So what we do is we push the teeth outward, and that strips the bone, sometimes on the outside. And then when you lose bone on the outside, without the bone there, then if you overbrush, anything happens, then the gums recede. So my theory is that folks are a lot more cautious of oral hygiene. They may overbrush. But I think a lot of the major factors is that more people are getting orthodontic treatment. It's not the fault of the orthodontist. It's just part of the risk of treatment that you sometimes have less bone on the outside. The teeth look good. You have a good bite, but you have less bone here. And then that's vulnerable to disease. You can lose some bone because the bone is so thin already. And if you lose bone, you can lose gum. You will overbrush where there's less bone, and all of a sudden you have gum recession. So we see a lot of folks after orthodontic treatment, a year or two, 3 years later, even 5, 6, 7 years later, they develop gum recession. So I'm seeing in my practice more younger people coming in. So it's something that you had to watch out for, something that we can actually, before orthodontic treatment, can actually fortify. If there's a recession already, before you have braces done, you should see the dentist and see whether you should undergo a method such as pinhole to fortify the gums, make sure the gums are thick and healthy and not recede anymore. And then after you have treatment or during treatment, if that happens, then the treatment needs to stop and allow the doctor, the treating dentist, to regenerate the tissue where you have gum recession. So this is something that I want to propagate and let the public know that this is available so they can ask the dentist to properly refer them for the right treatment at the right time.
When do you think would be a good time to have this procedure as well? Like, when do people start, when is it too late when you actually notice how far your gums have receded? Or when... how do you know your gums are starting to recede? What is a sign, and when should they take action?
Well, you should be observant of your gums to the extent you can. We see the front teeth all the time. If you see a little bit of change, then I would advise you when you see the dentist, see the hygienist, I'm getting sensitivity here. I see a little bit of a recession there. Doctor, what do you think is happening here? And this may alert him to check your teeth. Is it anything? Is it the flossing? It is the bacteria. The tests that we can actually do to find out what kind of bacteria you have. And then check your bite. Is your bite a little heavy? Do you have a biting problem that can traumatize the teeth and cause trauma to the gums and to the bone that can eventually lead to that kind of problem? But I will say that what you can see, and if you feel that your teeth are sensitive to cold, off and on, then that's a sign that there could be trauma. Because if you have a cavity, it's always going to be sensitive. But it comes and goes, it could be sometimes you clench more, sometimes you clench less. And that 200 pounds per square inch is causing inflammation of the nerves. And so you should be watching out and let your dentist know you're having certain areas which are sensitive. Then you can look at your bite and see, do you have a bite problem there? Are you hyper-occluding? Are you hitting the teeth at certain areas more than the others? And sometimes give you a bite guard, and then sometimes do other things that can alleviate the problem.
Do you guys ever test for certain bacteria in the mouth? I know there's a few tests out there that can test for gingivitis or other bacteria.
Yes, we do have a, I use a test. The test for the DNA of the germs. So I actually use a use a what we call paper pointer, a tiny roll of really thin paper, and I put it between the teeth to soak up the fluids that's between the teeth that's actually causing, that can cause gum disease. And then this is sent to a lab, then test for the DNA of the bacteria that most often cause gum disease, and there are 11 of those. And then I now get a report back, this will be normal, this will be high, and this patient happens to have high, be beyond high all over. So sometimes we have that. And
Do you do this in all your patients or just in ones with gum disease?
They come in
and they have a problem. They have gum disease. Or it's amazing. Sometimes the teeth are quite clean.
But they
have good hygiene. They see the dentist regularly, but they have gum recession. I begin to think, well, maybe it is a bacterial problem. Everybody's trying to treat it, but we're not getting to the real cause of it. And it's kind of hidden in the gums. It actually lives in the gum. So you can't just clean it and it's gone. Mm-hmm. So these kind of germs are actually in the system. These are 11. These are 5 here and 6 here. These 6 here are the correspond to the red and the yellow ones here. And these are more toxic. These will be more toxic. Puffy gingivalis is very toxic, very common germ in the mouth. But according to studies, it's associated with the Alzheimer's, arthritis, cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, stomach problems, respiratory tract problems, and head and neck cancer.
So if anyone's not watching, he's holding up this poster of the bacteria and how it affects all these different organs. So if you're not watching, we'll post this on show notes, because I think this is so cool, because people need to realize how certain bacteria is affecting all your organs.
Yeah. So they actually find DNA of these germs in the brain, in the heart, arteries, and they actually find these germs, the body of these germs, in when they do an autopsy on the Alzheimer's patients. So it is the fact that it is affects our whole body is not even controversial. But as to specific patients, nobody knows. In other words, if you have gum disease, we can't tell you to what extent it's affecting your system. But if you want to be healthy, you definitely lesson is you definitely want to normalize the germ content in your mouth and take the appropriate steps to normalize the level of germs in your mouth.
So if someone has these high levels of germs, how do you reverse this? What is your protocol?
Well, depending on what kind you have, if you have high amounts, so let's say Puffy gingivalis, you have T. forsythia, you have Tubulina denticola, then I would push you through a real thorough process of normalizing the level of germs. Now, I'm not saying that I'm very careful in terms of using any terms that say we can cure the problem. It's like termites. You can't cure the problem. It always will be there. And you have to take care of it continuously. So, but we'll lower the germ count by, of course, thorough cleaning. Thorough cleaning sometimes, we think of the dentist using an instrument and go and clean the teeth, or the hygienist does that. We do a wonderful job, and it's amazing what we can do when we don't, even though we don't see under the gum. And we do a really, really good job, and gum disease is under control with their methods for the most part. But if you have high germ count, which means that the pathogens are really in great numbers in the gums. They're in the bone. They're in the blood vessels. And so just by cleaning it the outside in cases where it's high won't do the job completely. You'll get better.
Yeah.
And then after 6 months, a year, 2 years, it's back again. Then we treat it again. It gets better. So that kind of profile, even though the gums look healthy, the pockets get worse. So
I think it's such a lifestyle.
Then we have to look at hygiene, but mainly we go and clean it. Now, if it's a high count, just manually cleaning it is good, but we also would consider using lasers. Lasers can penetrate tissue and does no harm to good tissue, but its wavelength will target infected tissue. So burns up or just eliminates the bad tissue without harming the good tissue. So
what kind of lasers?
It removes bacteria and infection.
What kind of laser is this? I'm always thinking facial laser, but obviously this is not your typical facial laser.
Yeah. So there are different types of lasers on the market, the INDIAC, the different wavelengths that's been known to be able to have that germicidal effect and to build infected tissue selectively. Then of course there's our standard method. If it's really serious, would you give me a model that shows decay? Shows plaque. So there is a method where there's a lot of plaque and a lot of bone loss. Then surgically, the dentist can actually, this is a picture of relatively
I'm good. Building up some teeth.
Yeah, good bone. You know, you've got good bone, so on. But over here, it's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And if you look at it in the mouth, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But we open it up. So
for the dentist,
what we do is we do what's called osseous surgery. Actually open up the gum because now we can see it, we can clean it, and then we put it back. So those are very serious cases that is to be considered. And
are they awake? During this procedure?
Yeah, they're awake. They're awake. Now you could choose to use IV sedation, so which I don't do, because I don't do that kind of surgery. You know, those who do the kind of surgery, they do a wonderful job, and it's very standard. I use a proven method. Many studies have validated this. It's called endoscopy. Actually, we use a tiny microscopic camera that goes under the gum. And then we can see where the plaque is with our TV camera. So it comes with a device that looks like this. It's got a TV screen. We can actually see the roots of the teeth on the screen as we clean. So we can thoroughly clean it without having to do surgery. It's called endoscopy. It's been around maybe 20 years now. We've been using it in our office for 20 years.
So you do this for every cleaning or just for specific cases?
Just for very severe cases.
Specific cases.
That's looking at possibly doing surgery.
Yeah. If
the only alternative is doing surgery, then we use this as a substitute for surgery. I'm talking about it to a wide audience. Unfortunately, there's probably not more than 100 offices in the country.
Are you ready to step up your health game? I'm excited to share an exclusive offer from Vivo Barefoot. The pioneers in barefoot footwear designed to bring you closer to nature and improve your overall well-being. Vivo Barefoot shoes are crafted to promote natural movement, enhance your posture, and strengthen your feet. Whether you're hitting the trails, the gym, or just walking around town, these shoes are the perfect companion for your biohacking journey. And the best part, as a Biohacker Blondie listener, you get an exclusive 10% off your purchase with the special discount code BHB. Just enter BHB at checkout and enjoy the benefits of barefoot living. Ready to take the next step? Head over to the link in the show notes or visit biohackerblondie.com to grab your pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes today. Your feet will thank you. I also want to share with you my favorite skincare brand, Young Goose. I recently had an amazing conversation with the founder, Emmete, on the podcast, and I can't stop raving about their incredible product line. Young Goose is the number one biohacking skincare brand, and for good reason. Their products are designed to work at the cellular level, providing unparalleled results. I love every product in their line, from their serums to their moisturizers. Everything is formulated with the highest quality ingredients and innovative technology. And here's something special for my listeners. Young Goose has generously provided a discount code just for you. Use the code BHB10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Make sure to check the show notes for the link and the code. Treat your skin to the best biohacking skincare out there with Young Goose and experience the transformation for yourself. Are you looking for a convenient and effective way to experience the benefits of peptides without the need for injection? Look no further than Level Up Health, my go-to brand for meticulously stacked oral peptides designed for maximum benefit. Their offerings include powerful options like liver support, gut repair, and BPC-157, and they just launched their latest innovation, Neuro Regenerate, perfect for supporting brain health and cognitive function. Whether you're at home or traveling, these oral peptide stacks provide a hassle-free solution to boost your wellness journey. Ready to try them out? Head over to levelup.health.com, that is levelup.health.com, and use the code BIOHACKERBLONDIE, that is BIOHACKERBLONDIE, yes, just with an I, at checkout to receive 10% discount. The details and links will also be available in the show notes. Don't miss out this opportunity to elevate your health with Level Up Health's premium peptide stacks.
And you offer this procedure.
Yeah, I happen to have adopted this technology about 20 years ago. And so my hygienist and I use this method for patients with severe problems with gum disease.
And for everyone listening, you're in Los Angeles.
It's Los Angeles. But these doctors who do perioscopy or endoscopy, they are spread out throughout the nations. In most major cities, you can find somebody who can do endoscopy. But
is there a website to find dentists for an procedure?
I think if you can Google it, you can say perioscopy. Use this term, Google it. And you should be able to find doctors who are certified, who have this technology to offer you.
And it's a little blurry, but I'll put it up in the show notes.
Yeah. Also, I have to hasten to stay so I don't give you the whole picture. There are lasers that has been certified by the FDA to actually treat severe gum disease without surgery. They can actually treat cases like this that I showed you. Yeah. By just using lasers only.
Wow. Okay.
And so
alternatives.
It's an alternative.
I definitely would rather do this.
In lieu of surgery, and it is a technology that's offered by many offices in the country and all over the world, in fact. And so most of them are periodontists, specialists in gum disease. They will offer this particular laser treatment, so that's also available, and so that's the alternative, and they have a way of actually removing plaque and controlling germ growth. Laser zoning. I don't do that because I have the perioscopy, but there are doctors who use lasers only, and they also are able to treat gum disease without the standard scalpel.
So two quick questions too. What are your thoughts? There's like probiotic mints or something for oral health. Have you seen that? Where, you know, we have probiotics for the gut, but they're also developing probiotics for the mouth to help with the bacteria. Do you use those in your practice or recommend those?
I am studying it. I think there are probiotics for the oral bacteria. I think they're coming out. I cannot endorse one or the other yet, but I think there are one or two that's coming up and that I'll be probably adopting in my own practice. But so far, I don't have solid evidence. But I think it's coming. I think there should be here a long time ago. But I think we're coming out with it, and I'm working on that. And when I do come to a conclusion, I'll let you know. Maybe you can let your audience know. But I think that's really great. Good thing to do.
Yeah. Another question too, what are your thoughts on mouth breathing, mouth taping? I know a lot of people are saying how that really affects your oral health is if you mouth tape and just breathe through your nose. So do you always suggest mouth taping for patients?
I think that that's a very, very controversial subject in that for some people, it might be just the best thing for them.
Yeah.
If you mouth breathe, let me talk about mouth breathing. Mouth breathing, there's different causes of it. Let's say you mouth breathe, the consequence will be you dry your mouth up.
Yeah.
When you dry your mouth up, there are very severe consequences. The saliva is very essential to the general health of the mouth. It provides nutrients, but it provides the antibodies that controls germ growth. It neutralizes the acid. It protects the enamel. It also has substances that actually remineralizes enamel. And so it's very essential. If you lose just a little bit of it, it can change the whole picture. So if your mouth breathes, you're drying up your mouth, and then you're going to have a problem just automatically over time in getting higher risk for gum disease, higher risk for cavities, and just the whole thing. And besides, it's very miserable to have dry mouth. So
I know someone.
Yeah. So I would have to know what's causing the dry mouth, what's causing the mouth breathing.
Yeah.
If you have a deviated septum, you have tough problems with your turbinate, you have to breathe through your mouth. If you force yourself to breathe through your nose, you're really struggling to get air into your system, which is not a good idea. You're depriving yourself of oxygen. And maybe you don't snore as much, but the effect on your system may not be so good. Maybe it is the structure of your jaws that tends to make you want to open your mouth during the during sleep. Are we looking at possible sleep apnea?
Yeah,
that is the diameter
issue.
Show me the picture of the diameter of the throat. The diameter of the throat is controlled by this is the opening of the throat. But when I sleep, the tongue falls back. And then it's up a round hole, I have a collapsed throat. So this is something that happens. So this is the front of the teeth. This is the front teeth. This is my throat here. This is the throat.
Okay.
You can see how it's narrow at one point right here.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm sleeping, the tongue falls back, you practically close this airway here. So if you have
when you gain weight, you gain weight in your tongue first, and that can also be an issue for sleep apnea is weight gain.
Definitely, if you're obese, if you're overweight, the tissue is just flabbier and thicker all around.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you have sleep apnea, it basically means that you cannot breathe. So the episodes where you actually practically choking yourself.
Oh my gosh.
So before you know it, you have high blood pressure, and those people who have sleep apnea, there are consequences in terms of stroke.
Yeah.
So sleep apnea is a very severe problem, but when we take CAT scans in our office, invariably we'll get to see the throat on certain views. And that we can actually warn the patient, look, you may have a problem. Go see your physician. Do you snore? Do you gasp? Does your spouse tell you you actually choke during the night? If you have that, show this picture to your physician and have your physician look at it and see whether you should have any testing or the treatment for that. So this is routine.
It's just so important.
Able to see when you take a CAT scan in his office. A lot of the dentists now have this kind of equipment. And now I don't read this myself. What I do is once I take the X-ray, I send to a radiologist who specializes in radiology. and they give me all the information, and I share this with the patient, then they could they take it to their physician. Now, what I need to tell you is that if you have a sleep apnea problem, you automatically tend to grind your teeth because that open up the jaw. So if you have nighttime clenching, and I would want to know, do you snore at all? If you snore at all, I'm thinking, well, you know, is there a possibility of a sleep apnea situation that I need to refer the patient for a medical consult? So we take that piece and we look at that. That does not eliminate, if this is normal, it does not eliminate the possibility of sleep apnea. But if we do see it, then we do have to, it'd be a good clue to the patients. And, you know, if you have sleep apnea, it's diagnosed and treated, it's all for the good. So your dentist, your visit to the dentist may actually save your life.
Do not ignore this.
That's for that alone. So
it's huge. I'm like, people just think snoring is, you know, something that's it's really hindering their health, their overall health.
Yeah.
And people don't know because they're sleeping. So you can also record yourself as well at night.
Exactly. Exactly. If you record yourself, you go, and there's more than, they could listen to cool time during the night, see the medical doctor is good news because you can feel better. People just, after they get CPAP, they're diagnosed with sleep apnea, they get treated for that. You know, they become a new person altogether. All of a sudden, they have more energy.
Energy, I know. Energy is everything. So it's like if you're also going to be being low energy, being lethargic, all these factors come into play. And even heart disease, all those, of course, you want to prevent as well. But also your daily life will improve.
Yeah. And so if we look at your teeth, you're grinding your teeth and it looks grounded down, then we will look into why you're grinding. And one of the common causes of grinding is that you snore, and a certain number of snorers, they have sleep apnea. So if you see a dentist, and then you can actually look at, have the dentist find out a lot of things about you, which can be very, very good for your longevity. So if you see a dentist, you can live longer.
So which I kind of wanted to go back to your pinhole rejuvenation method. Can you give just the audience or people listening, can you tell us the typical procedure for receding gums? Because it sounds awful that you have to, I saw your video, that you have to basically cut the top of your mouth and then sew it onto your gums. So can you kind of give a little explanation what it used to be and then how your pinhole method works? Because I don't think you really got into the details.
Okay. So that's that. And it's a very intricate procedure that takes a lot of skill. But basically, it means this. It means I have to take a piece of tissue from here. I cut a sliver of tissue.
Your mouth.
And it has to be done right. You cannot just do it anywhere. But there are some very important blood vessels and nerves up there. And you have to know where to harvest it. Now, if you're trained, you can do it very safely. You take a piece, and then you make a flap over the teeth, which needs gums. You open up the gums. You tuck that grafted tissue underneath the gums, and you sew it together.
Oof.
That's the surgical method. And
is it risky too? Is it risky?
It's that every surgery has risks. The risk involved is not so much here, where you put the gums, it's where you harvest the tissue. Any problems is from there. And the precise now, you actually cut a sliver of tissue deep and they sew it together. And so if you're done right and you have the right surgeon with the good surgical skills, it's hardly any pain. But nobody can say that, can tell before they do surgery what the blood vessels are or where the nerves are. So there's a risk in having numbness, in having some bleeding problems. But But it's not serious, something that the surgeon can easily correct. But it is a complication that comes with it. But it's nothing that's serious, nothing that you have to worry about. It's something that's it comes sometimes, no matter how good you are, it comes around to plague the surgeon because not everybody is the same.
Yeah, for sure. So but you developed this pinhole method that doesn't have any of this.
Yeah.
And then it's a lot easier recovery, less risk, less pain. Can you explain a little bit of how this works? So you invented this procedure and you teach over 4,000 dentists how to do this now. Okay.
So let's say that I have this kind of situation.
Yeah.
Oof. So what I do is...
teeth that needs...
Yeah. So this is a case I did in 2005, was actually published in the journal. So we put a pinhole up here, a pinhole up here, a pinhole up here.
It's basically just a hole. Okay.
I use a 15 gauge needle. It's a little bit smaller than the size of the needle that you use to draw blood, and you put and then we have specially. Would you give me a set of instruments? And then we use this specially angulated instruments that I invented, go through the pinhole here,
uh-huh.
And you lift the gums off the bone.
Ah.
So you have the whole thing now totally loosened up. Now what people don't know is wow, you're gonna lift the gums off the bone. But actually, it's very simple because there are hardly any nerves and blood vessels between the bone and the gum.
Oh, it's
practically bloodless sometimes because we're not really severing anything at all, any nerves and blood vessels. So there's hardly any pain involved. So we're removing, letting it just drop down. So when I get done, because the tissue is lifted up, it actually drops down to about maybe half the tooth.
Yeah.
When I get that, the patient walks out with the gums about here. You don't see it anymore.
That's amazing.
Can you give me a surgery picture that shows immediately after? So this is what it looks like after.
How long does this procedure take?
This one takes about an hour and a half. The full upper.
And you also are adding collagen?
Yeah. So once the gums are down here, and now there's space between the bone, the roots, and the gum. It's kind of loose. Okay. So I put little strips of collagen, which is made from pig tissue, and then we put it inside, and then this tissue called resorbable collagen, and then you'll keep the space, and as the gums heal, the gums actually grow through the matrix that's formed by this particular membrane. So that over 6 months, the membrane is totally resorbed, totally gone, and the tissue remains where it's supposed to be. So from here, without cutting, without stitching, then we get here.
Okay, I'd rather do this procedure.
Yeah. So this is the same patient. This is 18 years later.
Wow. Okay.
This is published. This is published in the journal. Oh, okay. So this is 18 years later. All right. And so this is published. So we have a study that shows that on the average of 14.5 years, We have basically the same result as we have in the beginning. We published in the International Journal.
Are the teeth sensitive? Like, you have to have like a certain diet? Like, are you not supposed to have any food for months or anything after this procedure? Or is it just back to normal?
It's practically back to normal. There's hardly any downtime. Now, typically, a surgery, any kind of gum surgery, the dentists have to prescribe some kind of a prescription pain medicine. We don't
care.
I've never prescribed anything beyond beyond over-the-counter Tylenol with Advil. Yeah. And typically, after surgery like that, sometimes upper, sometimes lower, sometimes both. Patients will take maybe two or three sets of Tylenol with Advil the first couple of days, and that's it. There's hardly anything because we're not cutting anything. We're basically moving tissue from one place to the other. We're dripping it down. So the downtime is very, very minimal.
Is this the common procedure now? Are most dentists doing this? Or is this something that you're still trying to get the word out and help dentists do this type of procedure instead of the old way?
Yeah. And we took us 10 years to really prove it. That clinically proven procedure. In the meantime, we have trained 4,000 dentists. So clinically, this is a proven procedure with our studies. And by the very fact that we have 4,000 dentists, about 20% of the specialists in this country have been trained by me in this office in Alhambra. So, but this is just starting. We need to train the rest of the profession. And we need to let the public know that this is available. We can take care of this problem for the patient. That is a leak in the body. We can fix this leak just like you fix the intake valve of a submarine. We can do this, and the dentist will have to be trained, but it's a very trainable procedure that the general practitioner can do and the periodontist can do. The periodontist can do pinhole a lot faster than they do the grafting. So the patient requires multiple sites. The periodontist will be able to do that as well as the GP. So I want every dentist to know about it, and definitely want enough dentists knowing how to do it to be able to serve the public. So that's my vision and mission is to let everybody know. I want the public to know this is available. I want the dentists all to know about it and enough dentists to do it so that anybody in the public who wants it can get it done.
I love that. So do you go and travel around to help teach dentists, or does everyone come to you and do you have a specific seminar? Like, how do you typically teach this to all these dentists?
Yeah, it is a procedure that is not something I just lecture on. I have to teach it in person with my instructors. However, we have developed a online on-demand type of a training program. Oh, it's this way we can reach around the world without them having to travel to California to get taught. So dentists can get introduction and be certified to do pinhole surgical technique by taking an online course under my supervision. They can get in touch with me. I can teach them online how to do their cases. So they take this online course at 7 hours. Then they work with me on their cases. So we have wonderful success in terms of teaching that way. So this is my way to get to more dentists around the world. Some of them cannot ever come here. I cannot ever go there. So we're hoping that our online course will be the main method to train dentists who need this training, and I'll travel anywhere when I'm invited. I'll be traveling to Washington D.C. to speak to the a meeting of the American Dental Association, the annual meeting.
Okay.
I'll be speaking at the Academy of General Dentistry. So I go everywhere where I'm invited, and because my commitment is to propagate this method and come on shows such as yours
and get the word out.
Know that this is available, how essential this is. If you want longevity.
Is this covered by insurance?
It is covered by insurance to the limit of the insurance. In other words, the question is, Lisa, is this covered by insurance? It is covered by insurance, most insurances, not everyone. Most insurances to the extent of the maximum. So dental insurance is not like medical.
They have
a maximum per year of $1,500, $2,000. Sometimes a good plan maybe give you $2,500 to spend a whole year, doing the whole year on whatever dental procedures you need. So if you have one or two, it'd be covered by the plan. But if you have a case like this, and then it's going to exceed the maximum. And then because you have insurance will cover one or two or three, and they'll max out the insurance plan, but you have the rest of it. So, well, the good news is that when you do pinhole, it's much less expensive to the patients when you do that many. So the dentist has the choice of charging on the sliding scale, and because he can do it much efficiently than the standard method, and it's easy for him or her to be able to adjust the treatment plan on the sliding scale to meet the budget requirements for this procedure. So it really speaks to the cost factor. I'm glad you brought that up. It does lower the cost factor per tooth. So it allows the dentist to offer a cost-effective method compared to the standard.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody. And it certainly because it's efficiently done, it certainly allows the dentist to treat a lot more cases for a lot more patients, a lot less cost.
Wow. So where can everyone go find you then if they want to take your course or if they want to go see you as a patient?
Okay. If they want to, meaning the dentist, just go to Chow, C-H-A-O, Dr. John Chow, CHAO.com. And that website will take you, if you're a patient, we'll give you the information that you need as a patient. You'll give you the information because if you're a doctor, you want to be trained, it'll take you there too. So drjohnchow.com. And you'll be able to find me, and we'll be quite willing to get on the phone, whatever you have to do to help you with your situation. If you're far away, because I know your audience is far and wide, they can look for a pinhole certified dentist just by going on Google. Pinhole dentist and your zone, your zip code, you'd be able to come up with a dentist nearby. I don't think it'd be
And you're still taking patients. So if people have gum disease, they can come see you as well in Los Angeles or Alhambra.
Yes. Yeah, I do. I do practice this method because I'm teaching it, and I do live cases in my seminars. Actually, I work on patients for the doctors to see once I do the live surgery. So I do see patients, and I select from my practice those patients which are appropriate for teaching purposes. And if you qualify for teaching purposes, we'll give you a special discount.
Amazing. Well, this was so great to have you on the podcast. I learned so much, and I hope everyone else did, I'm sure. If you have gum disease, go see Dr. John Chow. You sounds amazing. You invented this procedure, and it seems like such a better option than the old way of surgery. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny, for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
If you've been told you need gum graft surgery or you've noticed your gums receding, this is your sign to look into the pinhole technique. Dr. Chow's work is not only transforming smiles, but addressing a bigger issue of systemic health by sealing what he calls leaky mouth, a concept as important as healing a leaky gut. To learn more about his work or find a certified provider near you, visit drjohnchow.com. And if you're a dental professional, you can also learn how to get certified in this groundbreaking technique. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. You can also shop all of my trusted wellness and biohacking essentials, everything I personally use and love, on my website under the shop tab at biohackerbundy.com. Your support means everything and helps keep these powerful conversations going. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Jenny, also known as Biohacker Bondi, and I'll see you next time with more tools to help you live longer, feel better, and look your best from the inside out.